one happened over the break, and I'm not going to give names, but somebody came up and mentioned to me that she felt she had heard something from God that was unusual, that she was like, well, that's a surprise thing when we were asking God who we are. And Chris was here at the same time, and Chris said, oh, wait, let me tell you, as I was in the back and I was praying for you, what I thought God was telling me about you. And what God told Chris was the same thing that the woman had heard. So when that kind of thing happens, that's just this beautiful confirmation that God is actually, we're not making this stuff up, that the Holy Spirit actually is communicating to us. And that's part of what he does. And so it's wonderful that as you begin to listen for God according to all these ways and who he is, and as you are listening and talking with him for yourself, also feel free to listen for other people. Because God loves to talk to, I wish we had a better word than gossip, but God loves to talk about his kids to other kids. He just loves to. Yes. I love that. It was the same thing that happened. There was a lie that was so hard to replace with truth. And over the coffee break, her friend came up to her and told her that she saw that same thing in her. Do you see what a blessing it is when we do that for each other? Because there are things that we have a hard time hearing from God for ourselves. But when somebody comes in out of left field and gives us God's heart, it's harder to push away. And it just, oh, thank you for sharing that. That's, isn't our Father good? He's just good. What he does is good. And so I would really encourage you that as you begin to walk into talking with God, don't just talk about yourself and him, which is great. Talk about other people behind their back in the best possible way. So I was at work several years ago, and I felt that God was kind of sharing with me how much he loved one of my coworkers, a young woman that I worked with, and he was just telling me, I just could sense him just sharing with me how much he loved her and how what his heart was for her. And I was like, oh, okay. God, am I supposed to tell her that? Because I really didn't know. Is this something I'm supposed to tell her? And I felt that he was kind of sharing, no, don't tell her now. She can't hear it just yet. She's not ready to take it in. But I love her so much that I have to tell someone. I can't keep it quiet, so I'm going to tell you. And I love that. Him just, he was overflowing. He had to talk about this woman that he loved, even though she couldn't hear it yet right then. She was just blocked off to it. And it was about 3 years after that that this coworker had kind of opened up more. And I was able to tell her, do you know that 3 years ago, God said this to me about you? And I've been holding it ever since for you at the right time to know how much God loves you. And she just was deeply affected by it. So when we get God's heart for other people, it is one of the biggest gifts we can give them. So I really encourage you to start practicing that. When I say God's heart for other people, it's going to be things that are encouraging, that build them up, that display the good Father's character for them. Before we came, we did a little bit of listening to God for some of you because we wanted to get God's heart for some of you. And there's just a couple people that Buddy has said, yes, this would be a good person to be able to share this with. So I'm gonna tell one of those right now. I was praying for, I had a list of people at the church, and I was just praying through them, and God highlighted this name, and it's the H's, Denise, Daryl and Denise, and are they here? Daryl and Denise, okay. Aha, your translators. Well, this is what I felt like I was hearing God say about you all, that these are my faithful ones. They are faithful supporters of my work and what I have been doing all these years. They are my faithful ones. honey, bless them. He calls me honey a lot. He said, bless them for this. And I just got the sense that if there were a faithful medal, just like there's a medal of honor, that you were going to be getting the badge of faithful honor, of what, him wanting to give you the badge of honor for faithfulness for them. And I felt like he was saying they may think that what they have done has gone unseen, that they are more comfortable in the background doing quiet service for me in the background. But let me tell you, they are at the head of my heavenly parade, as if there are trumpets marching a parade down God's main street. Then he said, they will be uncomfortable with this, but I'm not going to back off from how I see them. So he sees you as faithful. And Buddy affirms that. Yeah. So thank you, even for letting us do something that's uncomfortable for you and share God's heart with you. And Anne, I think you had one too.
I love doing this, so I'm really, really thankful that we get to share a little bit with you. So I, first of all, had a word for Wanda Ruppel. Oh, so it, right? I got you? Is that you right there? No, where's Wanda? There you are. I met you this morning, sorry. And I was so happy because I've had this collection of words for people, but I haven't connected with a lot of them. Buddy said several would be Sunday attenders, but not this week. So Wanda, I just felt like God gave me an odd scripture for you, first of all. It was 1 Samuel 7:4, and it says, so the sons of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth and serve the Lord alone. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you mean about, well, you know, what do you want to say to Wanda about this? What do you see? And he said, you have such an incredible capacity to keep your eyes on God and to turn away from distractions, anything that would become a distraction or an idol. You do this so well. And I saw a picture of you. I saw a picture of a skyscraper, big, like right in your face skyscraper. Couldn't not look at it, but you looked right through it to God. Like there is nothing that keeps you from focusing on God. You are undistractable. So I just want to bless you with that, that you have this wholehearted devotion and attention to God that he sees and that he loves and that he wanted to call. What? Yeah, I wrote it on a card, so I'll give it to you. Yeah. Okay, so Tom Phelan back there. So I don't know you, obviously, but Buddy just told me about you a little bit, and so I cannot tell you how much it means to me to be able to give you this word. I just felt like God said, Tom has such a big capacity for God, for walking with him and for doing his work. And he said to me, this man is a reservoir of my love. And then he said, sweet Tom. And then he said, as you go, I go with you. And that's a promise. So I just bless you with that, that he loves the love that flows out of you because it's his love. It's an honorable love, what you're doing with your wife and how you're living. And he's with you every minute. Thank you. All right.
So Father, I would ask that you would, even starting this weekend, begin to, as people are beginning to talk with you and beginning to hear your heart, that you would begin to extend your heart through them to other people, and that they would begin to get a taste of what it's like to get to be a messenger and just say, here's God's heart for you, here's what I see. And that this would be a church of deep encouragement because you're present and you're speaking, not because they're just nice people, which they are, but because you are here in the midst of them and you are loving people through them. I would just ask that something different would walk in these doors. When people walk in these doors, they'd be like, I don't know what this church is, but here I am. And that something different would be here because Holy Spirit and Father and Son, you are so present here. Thank you that you are a God who speaks and communicates. Amen. Amen. do this more. Do this for each other. So we're going to move on, and we're going to continue letting God speak to us about who we are and who you guys are as a church. And so I want you to take out your page again that you have your four boxes drawn on. And so choose another box on there. And I want you to write down on there the things that come easily for you, that just come easily for you, that you don't really have to work at, you just do. Some of you, you can cook a meal without thinking about it. Some of you can put together a spreadsheet and it just comes easily for you. Some of you are naturally athletic. Whatever those things are that just come easily for you, they're just in you and they just come out. Okay, so now let's move to a third box. And in this one, I want you to list the resources that you have. And so I'm going to give you some ideas of what some resources are, because when we think of resources, we tend to go to natural things like money. So honestly, bank accounts, retirement accounts, those are resources. So if you have those, put those on your list. It could be you have property. It could be you have real estate holdings. Those are resources. Those are the kind of things we naturally go to, our stuff. And so I do want you to put your stuff on there. But also, I want you to think about other resources you have, such as your time. Some of you have more time here than you've had at any other point in your life. That's a massive resource. Some of you have a particular skill or ability that you've worked on over the years, and you carry this skill or ability. I think Buddy on Sunday, when they were announcing the new directory you're doing, he said, we have photographers in our midst. Well, they have the resource. They have this skill that they've developed over the years of being able to do photography, and it came into play at the right time. So a skill can be a resource. Also list things you know a lot about. It might be a resource. You might have an area where you are just really knowledgeable. And don't think, oh, I'm not smart, I'm knowledgeable. You might understand how to help someone who's grieving. That's an area of skill or an area of knowledge that you might have a special ability there. Also think about think about the people you know back in the country, wherever you came from. So if you have a whole collection or a network of people that you could tap into, that's also a resource, all the connections and the people you know. So just kind of think creatively about what's a resource and list the different resources you have. I'm handing out Post-its. Take three and pass them on. Three sheets, that is. And then look at your resource list. And we're going to do so another asking God question. So take three Post-its, pass them on. And so keep filling out your list if you're continuing to fill out your list. That's fine. And you might also add to this list of resources. This is slightly different, so I don't want to diminish this by calling it a resource, but add any spiritual gifts that you have. So a spiritual gift is like the list in the New Testament of teaching or administration or preaching or there's encouragement, I think, is on the list. Faith is one of them. Healing. So there's different. Mercy is one of those. So those are the kind of gifts. And you may or may not know what yours are, but what happens is in these areas, it's not just a natural skill. It's when God adds his abilities to yours, and something bigger than what you could produce happens through you. So it's not just you're really good at this. It's there is something when God operates this way through you and adds what he brings, something larger than you happens. So if you're not sure what yours are, that's fine, but also add it in there. So we're going to take a bit of a time now to listen to God again and to ask him a question about this list of resources. And what we're going to do is ask him which of these are that you've listed are most important and most valuable to him. And it might be different from the ones that are most valuable to you. Those might not be the same. So what's most important to him might not be the same as what's most important to you. So I'm just going to pray a prayer, and we're going to do a little bit of listening. And so, Father, I would ask that as you review these lists that they have made of their resources and what they have, that you would begin to whisper to them and to nudge them or to kind of highlight to them on the list what's most important to you, what's most valuable to you. And just bring to their mind as they look at that list the things on it that are just really valuable to you, even if it's different from what they think is the most important. So take a look at your list and look it over with God and see what he wants to highlight on there for you. And then of what he highlights, put one on each post-it. So of the things that he highlights for you, write one of those things on each post-it. So you may use all three of your post-its. You may use only one. Just if you need more post-its, we can give you more post-its. But write down one thing on each post-it. We'll let God do what he wants. I was thinking the last category, but if he wants to highlight more than that, that's fine. And one of the reasons we're doing this is often we can do this kind of exercise and we know what we think is valuable and important, but we want to know what God thinks from his perspective is the thing that we want to pay most attention to that he's deposited in us. And it might be, again, like I'm saying, it might be what we might think is important, but it might not be. He might have something else. So I'm particularly interested if anybody had God highlight something for them that wasn't the top of their list or wasn't what they would have picked out for themselves.
As I was sitting here, I thought, I don't have anything. God's not highlighting anything. I have plenty of resources that I've listed, but nothing is coming to the surface. And then I just wrote down, you're a good listener.
So a good listener, that's a valuable resource because there's a whole lot of good talkers in the world. It's hard to find a good listener. Anybody else? What's that? Yeah, only if we could get that in our hearts. Any other resources that God highlighted for you? Praying for others. You, a reservoir of prayer. Like I'm picturing this huge vat or bathtub full of prayer. I don't know if God fills bathtubs with prayer, but that's what came to mind. What else? Experiences he's brought you through. What else? Yes. Yes. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, God winks. Yes. Surrender. Thank you. Okay, so here's what I want you to do, and this is why you have post-its. I want you to take those post-its. Okay, so I have to say this firsthand. We're going to do this quietly, and we're going to do this orderly. We're going to do this quickly, but we're still going to do it. And the reason we don't want to take half an hour to do it, but I do want you to actually do this because I want you all to participate in this. So take your post-its and bring them up and put them somewhere on one of these side walls. So slap them on the walls. So get up from your chairs, make your way over to the side walls, slap your post-its on, and then make your way back to your chair. We're beginning to get surrounded by what God has deposited in this congregation. I don't know what these all say, but these are all things that God has deposited in this congregation. And I wanted you to see. Okay, Anne said we're not going to cry this morning, so I don't know why I'm crying, but there's just something about seeing everything God has gifted you with that just begins to really touch me. We have one more quadrant, square, box on your paper. And this one we're going to put in there what Marilyn alluded to. So this is, you all, I know, have gone through hard things in your life. There have been places where you have been pressured and stressed and pushed and you have suffered to a greater or lesser extent. It just happens. You can't go through life without that. And if you've gone through those places with God, you came out with something. You know something that you didn't know before. You have a deposit in you that wasn't there before. Even if it was a flat-out failure, even if it's a marriage that just fell apart, you know something about a marriage that falls apart that you didn't know before. So I want you in that space to think through the very hard places that you've gone through. And for some of you, that might be like, some of you might be saying, a fourth of a piece of paper? Are you kidding? But just especially just note down, just a jot a word or two that reminds you of that place, and especially the place you went through with God, where God met you in it. And then just make a note, here's what I came out with on the other side that God gave me because of that hard thing. So it might be something you know. It might be a message that he planted in you that you want other people to know. It might be greater trust in him. It might be a confidence in him. Some of mine have been things like, I now have the confidence to say to someone, God loves you when you're a mess. And that came out of me being a mess and being loved. And so now I can say that to someone with confidence. God loves messes. If you women were here on Wednesday, you heard Chris and Ann and I share some of the things we came out of some hard places with. So places and things that happened to you. So just make a few notes there of what you came out of some of that difficult place with because God was there with you. And we're going to hand out more post-its. I was getting ready to talk and tell you what to do next. And as I was getting ready to say that, I felt like God interrupted me. And I just want to explain that for a bit because that's a bit odd. You may not have seen people do that. Side note, the first time I saw a speaker, never mind, I won't tell that story. Okay, I won't interrupt myself on that. But what happened is I just kind of felt like as I was getting ready to talk, I kind of felt that internal nudge of God saying, I got something I'd like to say to you. And if that sounds really unusual, like you're looking at me going, how does she do that? That's weird. One of the things that happened is the more that I began dialoguing back and forth with God, kind of he and I just alone by ourselves. And as I began kind of doing that, I just began opening up more and more to hearing him nudge me when I was out and about and going on my way. And so that was something that over the time that as we talked about on Wednesday, the more you do that, the more you give God access to you, the more he goes, hey, okay, fine, I'll take advantage of that. But as I was getting ready to speak just now, I felt like God was nudging me and saying, Connie, what they are doing right now in all the things that they are writing down that I can't see, but God can see, I felt like he was saying, this is holy ground. You do not know where I have been with these people and what they've been through, but what they are doing right now and what they're writing down and making note of, that is, what do I mean by holy ground? It means that it's not something that he takes lightly. That he knows these places you have been. And this isn't just a casual exercise on a Saturday that we're doing just for the fun of it. This is real stuff that you've been through with him. And this is a real place. And he's just honoring that and saying, this was real. This is not a minor thing. This part of the paper is not just, oh, that's a nice little exercise. This is real heart stuff with God. It's something you carry because of what he and you experienced. So what I'd like us to do is listen to God a little bit about this and just have him let you know how valuable that is to him. And so I'm just going to ask him again to nudge you about this. And I'm going to ask something a little bit different this time. I'm going to ask him to help you see what you have to say to someone else because of what you've experienced with God. So that's the question I'm going to be asking. God, what does this person have to give away to someone else and to say to someone else out of what's valuable to you in this piece of paper? So I'm just going to pray that for you. So God, I would ask that as we sit here and we look over these things that we've noted down, and it's just a small piece on one corner of a white paper, but you know the months and even years that are behind these experiences these people have written down. And God, I'd ask that you would speak to your kids, to your sons and your daughters, And as they look at those lists, and that you would say, there, that one, that's really important to me. That was so valuable to me that I want, that's a gem, it's a treasure. It's like iron ore or gold ore or some kind of precious ore that's in the ground that went through a lot of seismic pressure and heat to be fused into something that's beautiful and valuable. And that's what you've gone through with him. So God, I would ask that you would, as they look at these lists with you, that you would speak to them and you would say, there, that place, that's valuable to me. And then that you would help them understand, here's what I have to say to someone else as a result of this place. Here's what I could say to someone else out of this place that would be of that great value to them. So just take a few minutes again to review your list and listen to God as he helps you understand what you have to say to someone else of great value. Ask God, God, what do I have to say to someone else of great value? So just look at the list. God, what would you like to highlight to me on this list? And then God, out of this place, what do I have to say to someone else of great value? And then when you have that from God, not that you're 100% certain, but you're somewhat, you think you have that from God, go ahead and write that on your Post-it. And you may have a couple of Post-its, you may have one, maybe you have three. So go ahead and write that on your Post-it. Make sure you make a note of it for yourself, too, because you don't want to forget. But write it on your Post-it. Again, don't write something on there that's going to be, you know, revealing a place of your heart that you're not comfortable with, just what you would say about it to someone else. I have a friend who would be writing on there, God is faithful, because that's what she came out of her hard, hard place with, was a firm conviction that God is faithful, and she can say that from the bottom of her heart. Other people would have something different that they would write on there. So let's just take a minute and call out the thing you wrote on your Post-it if you would like to. You don't have to, but if you would like to. And don't explain it. Just give the one sentence or the phrase that you put on your Post-it. I'm sorry. Power of prayer. God will not abuse, abandon, or hurt you. What else do we have on our Post-its? Give life, not death. He always carries us and provides for us. He can give you physical and mental endurance beyond what you think is possible. I'm not sure why that touches me, but it does. It's really true. So there's got to be something in there that you've experienced, I would assume, that goes deep. What else? Back in the back. God has plans, trust him. He has always shown me the sun, S-O-N, light, through my storms. Always walk with God, always talk with God, and always follow his ways. The God that I know on the mountain is still the same God in my valleys. God delights in my brokenness. Don't be afraid. He has your life in his hands, no matter what you try to do to thwart his efforts. He loves you. What's the next one? He loves you to the death and will keep you safe. Nothing disqualifies you. God will get us through anything. You can do it. He brought me through and he'll do it for you. going through a hard time with God is transformational. Absolutely. That's what all of this is producing. So true. God is fun and not boring. Amen. Amen. So true. Yes. Without God, we are nothing in this life. Yvonne? With God, I've always got a friend. We'll get to that. Yes. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. God always sees us. What was it? Hagar named God, the God who sees me. God always sees us. Yes. Do not be afraid to give up everything and take a leap of faith. God is already there. Yes. With God, I am adept at spiritual warfare. And I want you to notice that some of these things are probably sound like these are all true. These are so true. And these might be, if they were on a calendar, it'd be just nice, pretty stuff on a calendar. But I am so aware that when I'm hearing this from all of you, there's a story behind it. There is a story behind it, and it was hard fought. And what you're saying came out of something that was a hard place. So this isn't just nice stuff for a calendar. There's our stories that all of you carry that produced this kind of depth. It's just, thank you. Thank you for sharing this. I'm sorry, that wasn't a hand up. He sees, receives, and honors our sacrifices to him. So this time I want to do something different. I do want to put these post-its on the wall, but I want to put them on these walls back here because this is part of our worship to God. And so if maybe two or three of you could come up and we'll hand them back over these to you and you can kind of make your way behind there, and so we won't all have to try to get back there. And we'll put our worship up on the wall because these do come out of worshipful places. So go ahead and come on up and hand them, and we'll just pass them over. This is all coming from somewhere. So I just asked her to lead us together in a worshipful song, just to respond to God and say thanks for this.
Please rise. Let's sing the doxology. For you that don't know the words, it's praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heaven and earth. Wait. Ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you all for that. It truly is. My goodness, look at these walls. I don't know what's all written up there, but that to me is true wealth behind us of what, and that's what's in this room. We don't even have this room full of all the people who are in this church. So what you all carry, wow, it's just big. It is so big of what God has brought here and done here. And those of you who think my piece of it is really little, it probably is. All of us have really little pieces, but when we add it all together, It becomes this huge, huge telling and witness of who God is. And this is what you all have to give away. It's what you all have to give away. And so what I would like us to do in the last remaining minutes is, and I'll give the instructions first and then we'll do it because it'll be a little bit disruptive. I would like to gather together in groups of 5 or 6 or 7, and I would like to spend just a few minutes just brainstorming together what would we like God to do through us, Boketti Bible Fellowship, in this place, in this community, in, is it Cherokee Province? In Panama, because of everything he's given us. And we started out with who he is, because that's the foundation, the white pages on the walls. But then he brings us along with all of the colors and variations that we have of who we are and what he's done in us. And he adds that to who he is as Father, as friend, as King, as Shepherd, as our guide, as the one who has plans for us, who leads us forward into new things. And just like we as people can be in a transition with an end, a muddle, and a beginning, this church can also be in transition and probably also often is. And I will just have to say that I feel like you all are poised for this wonderful transition into what God is calling you into in this time. Acts 17 says that God knows the time and places in which each one of us will live, and in him we live and move and have our being. And so it's not a surprise to him that you all ended up in Panama, right here at this time and in this place. And not just that you individually landed here, but that you as a body landed here, because there are things that you can do in combination that you cannot do by yourself. Those messages together mean something. They add up to something. These resources together add up to something that by themselves they don't add up to. So I would just like you to kind of turn loose and answer the question, if we could see God do something through us, what would we want to see? So that's the question you'll be asking in your small groups. If we could see God do something through us, what would we like to see? If we could see God do something through us, what would we like to see? So if you would just cluster together in groups of 5 or 6 or 7, just kind of pull your chairs around and gather together, and we're just going to take a few minutes just throwing out our ideas, and God, would you give us your imagination for what you would like to do through this church in this place at this time? Stay where you are for now. Just stay in your groups. And what I'd like to do is just ask the person taking notes. I just want to hear we just want to report back kind of a summary. Don't go into detail. Just read the notes. If you don't want to read your notes, hand them to somebody next to you who doesn't mind reading them. So don't embellish. Don't explain. Just read the notes. Okay, so this group, we're going to start with Marilyn. Wait, stand up. Going to have a mic because they can't hear you. But don't explain, again, because if we explain, we'll never eat lunch. So just read your notes.
Ours appears to be a mission-minded focus, and it seems to be universal in our group. And basically, along with bringing others to Christ, we realize that the needs have to be met before people will be ready to hear about Christ. And we've actually caught a vision that we as a church could provide in a way that would meet the needs of the abused, the addicted, the hurting, the lost. But we're not just talking about a safe place where they can come and worship. We feel that perhaps God is laying on our hearts the need to develop a facility, a place that gives more than an hour or a hug or a meal, a place that gives safety and growth and a saving knowledge of Christ.
Excellent. Thank you. And can I have those notes? Because I want to gather them up and, whoops, they might be in the back of something. If they're in the back of something, just jot some notes that we can hand, because I want to make sure that the church leadership is able to capture some of these ideas. Could this group, whoever that is, kind of come back? Up here. I don't think my mic cord's going to reach all the way back there.
We had three ideas. Number one was a newcomers program, which would be like a formal introduction to people that are just coming to the church to help them kind of graft into the body. Each person would, or couple would get assigned a mentor or a sponsor, matched by age, just to acculturate them. And then the second idea was to see the church kind of be a gathering of all other churches in the area, where there could be worship, inter-community worship. And then the third idea is that there could be like a spiritual retreat center where we could do like a big B&B and have workshops, have missionaries, people come, have cabanas built on the land where people could come and stay and really learn about Jesus.
Thank you. I want God to stir up these ideas. So again, just no explanations, just read the list.
Okay. Our group focused on Sunday school mostly, saying how we are short of teachers. But there's one thing that I do want to bring up that was brought up was the baby Christians. They may not just be children. They may be adults. And it may be that we need to have a group together with our baby Christians to get them started from their level than trying to go on from our level and wondering what in the world is going on. So the other thing that was mentioned in our group was a gathering of churches together.
Interesting. That's the second time that's come up. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I don't know your name in the purple. If I could get those three ideas on a list, that would be great.
If we could see God do something through us, what would we... I'm sorry, I'm just reading what I saw. Church expanding community. Change hearts of atheists. Show our heart to them. Us gringos have more personal relations with natives. Show practical love gestures. Get into the community and plant seeds. Relate with children in clinics, etc.
Good brainstorming back there. And okay, yeah, give me that list. And so we have this group, and then that one, and this one left. Okay. Thank you. So God, I ask that you would energize all these ideas that come from you, and you would bring them.
Well, we first thought that we didn't want it to stop here, that this growth would keep progressing within the church, and that possibly we could do this as a seminar to bring other members of the body of Christ who would want to do exactly what we just did. And then the third thought was that there would be small groups within the church so that we would become more intimate with one another and keep growing.
Excellent. Thank you. This group.
I'm just a scribe since I'm only here for a day. So be a community that connects with different cultures and expats to see genuine love and hope distributed through BBF. Unity in the body to keep the non-essentials non-essential and to come together in the essentials with the variety of denominationalism in the church. To integrate into culture with more effort to love on the people around us, with genuine expressions of love and unity, to bring the kingdom here on earth, bringing God's culture and expressing the kingdom culture by demonstrating strengthening, healing up believers, personal intimacy, and outward ministry of compassion. Be family on mission together. And doing that in a very natural way, whether it's doing spiritual gifts or physical needs, meeting very real physical needs on life as we go.
Thank you very much. Can I have the notes? Thank you. And the last group over here.
We had, the first thing that came up was to be an example of what Christ looks like, his hands and feet, so in very practical terms. Second thing was to work with the Nobe, the indigenous, to improve their living conditions. And the third was to be a place of healing and restoration. And interestingly enough, God provided an example for us to work with right there, because there was somebody in the group who was really struggling with what we had talked about earlier and was in a place of very deep wounding, and discussed that. And when that was brought up, another member worked with that person to bring some healing. I mean, it was a living example right then and there of how that can happen. I think the Lord was very generous with us in providing that. But he's saying, let's not talk about it, but here's an example right here.
Thank you so much. Oh, did we miss your group? Wait. Oh, the group in the back. Sorry, I didn't see you guys. And don't forget to jot these down so we have the notes about them.
We had three things that we talked about. One was reaching out, especially in the Panamanian community. Dirk talked, it would be great to have half of this auditorium filled with Panamanians and have a truly bilingual church. But then also with the expats that are here, reaching into more depth with them for small groups where we can know each other better, get more in-depth into what the Bible has to say and how we relate to each other. The third was for the youth group here. How can we develop young people who have a real heart for God? I talked about that, having a qualified leader, but we also talked about developing leadership within the young people themselves as they have a heart for God and as they continue to grow together.
Excellent. Don't forget to write those down. Did you notice how there were themes that kind of kept on coming up of your heart desires? And I just assume that as we ask God to give us his desires in our hearts, I mean, of asking, what would you like to do through us? God, what would you like to do through this church? That is just a question I want to put in your minds to keep asking again and again. God, what would you like to do through us? All of this is legacy. This is your personal legacy that you're going to pass down to people that you know, that are in your family, that are in your friends, that are in your circle of influence. But this is also your corporate legacy that you're going to hand out to people around you. It's all here. I mean, well, not it's all here. A third of it, a fourth of it, a tenth of it is actually on the walls. The rest of it is still kind of lodged in you, because we just didn't have a chance even to get out all that God has placed here. So I just want to bless you with all God is doing. So, Father, I would ask that in this church, which is your church, that you would ground them in love, that you would ground them in love of you, love of the Father, and love for each other, that they would know the height and width and depth of that love, and that they would be firmly rooted in faith, and you would dwell in their hearts through that faith. And because of that, they would know the love that passes all knowledge. And God, I would ask that you would do immeasurably more than all they can ask or imagine or dream or brainstorm or think up or even conceive possible, because of your power that is at work in them and through them. And now, Father, to you be all the glory in your church here in Boquete, in the other churches here in this area, in the churches in Cherokee, in the churches in Panama, and in the world now and forever. Amen. Bless you with the legacy that God has given you. Thank you, guys. And we are now going to have lunch together, and you can continue those conversations if you